Welcome to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing. I'm T. Hetzel, and today I'll be speaking with Christine Ferris of Indiana University Bloomington about what we do with text, the role of reading in analytical writing. Christine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, T.
Thanks for being here. Christine, how did you become interested in the role of reading in analytical writing, or reading's role in the writing classroom?
Well, I was, I got into writing in the disciplines even while I was still a graduate student at University of Washington. I was lucky enough to work in the Center for Instructional Development as a writing consultant, the first one they ever had. And so I worked with faculty right from the beginning of my career on how they were using writing in their courses. And I also taught linked courses, writing courses to general education courses in political science, art history, geography, fields other than English, my own. And then when I was hired at my first job, first tenure track job at University of Missouri, I started doing research into how faculty incorporated writing and what they were looking for, what kinds of papers they valued, tried to tease out of them, you know, what is it that's making this an A, a B, a C? What does your content have to do with the way you're assessing the writing? What kind of critical thinking do you want to see? Most of the focus of the research was on critical thinking coming through in the writing, and I observed a lot of their classes, took some of their classes, and when I came to Indiana, which was 25 years ago, I was hired in jointly at first in the writing across the curriculum program and English, and I eventually moved into English 100%. But I took what I learned from the research and the consulting with faculty in other disciplines into a redesign of the first year course, and reading figured very much into that curricular design because it's simple, really. Most college writing assignments call for students to write about what they've read and to write in terms of the ideas of others. And lots of times when we talk about effective writing or successful student writers, we don't attend enough to what they do in their papers with what they read, right? And finally, it came down to me that what I wanted to see more of students able to do was analyze and to build their repertoire for analyzing nonfiction texts with which they don't have a lot of familiarity. They come to us having some idea of the genre of maybe a literary paper or making personal connections to mostly literary texts. I know the Common Core is trying to change a lot of that in K through 12, but they really don't have a sense yet of what we do with texts in the university, right? We in the field often talks about how students should have more exposure to genres. Right, a lot of this writing about writing stuff and teaching for transfer involves self-reflection about genre awareness. But frankly, I think what may have the most hope of transferring is being able to be a more critical reader. And so that the writing grows out of a kind of engagement with what students read. And I think we all need to be, then, teachers of reading and using writing to teach that kind of critical reading that we actually do. What do? We don't read for the gist. We don't cut and paste sources from the internet. We reread, right? We look for underlying assumptions, we look for logical structure, we read to see if there's a methodology we can use, if there's a concept that we can use as a lens for understanding a new problem or analyzing a visual text or a film, right? These are the things we do with what we read. And we have to, I think, all keep doing that kind of integration of reading and writing in not just first-year English, but the upper division writing courses and the...
Beyond.
The courses in the major. And so when I redid the first-year curriculum and when I advise faculty in other disciplines, I concentrate on low-stakes writing assignments that will teach a certain kind of strategy for reading critically.
What would be an example?
An example, well, probably the most famous example comes from John Bean, his idea of microthemes. I don't know if you all use those at all, but the way he puts it is a whole lot of thinking precedes a very little bit of writing.
Right.
And they are writing assignments that faculty can assign and not spend a whole lot of time grading. They are the building blocks for longer papers, so that, say, a sequence of them, like summary, explication or close reading of a passage or a film scene, applying a concept as a lens for looking at a test object, like a film scene, let's say, these are the, for me, the building blocks to a longer paper. So by the time a student would be doing, say, a comparative analysis of some sort, let's say using two sources to analyze a film, right? Instead of grabbing some quotes from critics or something, they might be, have, say, done some analytical work with the sources that are going to be their lenses. So let's say, for instance, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a piece in New Yorker some years ago about, on the anniversary of To Kill a Mockingbird, doing a critique of Atticus Finch that actually was prescient for the book that came out, Go Set a Watchman, that in fact Atticus Finch was a certain kind of populist, right? He was racist in some certain ways, right? We needed to pay more attention
to things that we wouldn't want to admit about that character.
We need to pay more attention to the details in Harper Lee's original text and not turning him into some kind of, you know, savior or liberal, you know? And then when Go Set a Watchman came out, you know, we could see how Harper Lee actually constructed him, and her care. The scout goes on as an adult to argue with him, and in more present time in the 50s. And one could take, say, the Malcolm Gladwell essay and have students do some work with it, summarize it, look at it as a critique, analyze it rhetorically, what's he arguing, how is he using his evidence, that sort of thing, and then apply it as a lens to re-see, say, a scene in
To
Kill a Mockingbird, the film, or something like that.
Yes.
That's just an example of a kind of sequence in a course where students are doing something with sources, right?
Yes.
And I think we have to be, all of us, vigilant in how we kind of break up our assignments so that they can have some ownership of that engagement with sources and not kind of write that five-paragraph essay that kind of is matchy-matchy or
pre-programmed,
so
almost,
you know, formulaic, right? if they are more engaged with some of their sources, they're going to generate more complicated ideas, more interesting theses and claims. They're going to pay more attention to their evidence, that sort of thing.
Because the other ideas, if they're reading closely or reading in this engaged way that you've been talking about, Christine, then they're able to actually see what the ideas are on the page rather than having their own lens or their own ideas.
Right.
Edge it out.
Yeah. One of the things I'm tomorrow in the seminar that I asked people to read was Robert Scholes' piece on the transition to college reading and writing. And, you know, if you know that piece, he talks about students often reading for what they want to be there. Right.
Or all of us, apparently. In your example, To Kill a Mockingbird,
yeah,
reading
sure.
for what we wanted Atticus
sure.
Finch to be.
And the first thing I would say is that, you know, there's plenty of scholars who read their colleagues' scholarship for what they want to be there, too. Right? We're guilty of that, too. But I think if we make, as Gerald Graff says, you know, make our moves visible to students, what is it that we do in the academy, right? Don't hide the football and watch and see who rises to the top in their papers. You know, let students take these kind of baby steps. I think also another thing that I've learned is how we juxtapose texts in our classes. I try to put together and help our instructors put together a sequence of readings where you may have what I call keystone readings, where there's maybe essays that have certain major concepts that are important to your course, right? So Foucault on the Panopticon, or W.E.B. Du Bois' Double Consciousness, or, you know, some pieces that are just kind of central concepts throughout the course, foundational. And then thinking very strategically, what other texts would I bring in that would spin off of this, update this, historicize this, complicate this, however we might want to, gender, race, going into film as a different medium.
Because establishing and clearly showing those connections will help the students become more analytical readers or
yes.
more able to...
Yeah, but they're kind of like, there's some training wheels to it, too.
Yes.
Because you're sort of saying, okay, we're going to put some of these concepts out here, and these concepts are portable, right? I may ask students, okay, we're going to take Du Bois, and he's talking about double consciousness in terms of race, but what about if we take it to gender or something, or how would you, you know, update this? You're going to use them in ways that the original author did not use them, but I'm going to need a microtheme assignment or a short essay to kind of get you to do that, right? I'm not going to just assign the paper at the end of the class and wait and see who uses the sources in these complex or
because what you're saying
ways,
is
right?
show them this, like
sure.
make the scaffolding explicit,
exactly.
transparent, so that the students can then see how these pieces that they create then can interconnect,
yes.
and build a whole.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's feeding the writing as well,
yeah.
as the reading.
I think a lot of faculty probably surely do this in the way they put their readings together. They may just not be having students write the whole way through. And I think, say, with microthemes or certain kinds of entrance and exit slips or an online forum with prompts, you know, we can intervene to encourage these moves. And one thing I say with instructors is Think about what your strongest student writers can do or have been able to do with the concepts, the texts in your class, and what your weakest writers maybe are not yet able to do with those concepts and text. What could you do to get everybody more able to do that, to have a wider repertoire?
And being aware that reading is a critical part of that.
Right, right.
Making those thought connections,
yeah,
and then being able to articulate them on,
yeah,
the page. So the awareness of that, the awareness of the differences in the classroom with how each student is reading and writing,
yeah,
is primary. And then are there other things that you would suggest? These micro themes, a scaffolding approach?
This is composition lore going way back to Anne Bertoff and different people, but I'm very big on the double entry notebook, where students, for everything we read, you kind of record keywords, quotes, main points, subpoints on the left side, and on the right side, you talk back and you ask questions. How else could this topic be interpreted? What's a puzzle for me here? What do I want to raise in class, right? And then remembering to draw from those things, right? Or draw from the online forum when we get to class to discuss, instead of being the one who is finally going to deliver the master interpretation, right? I think students have to feel that their readings, right, have some validity.
Otherwise it would feel like an empty exercise,
because
right, you might not necessarily make the connection that this,
right,
is helping you with that,
yeah,
next piece of writing, thinking.
Yeah, but one thing about the sequence of smaller assignments is that students can start to have germs of an idea, things that they're doing with some of the sources in the class, where we can say, you know, that would be good for your final paper. Why don't you start with that thing that is bothering you and puzzling you, right? And then you can go get more primary sources or more secondary sources to build your analysis, right?
Christine, how do you feel that screens, digital reading, is affecting the reading in the writing classroom?
If students reading
on screens rather than maybe on, yeah, because I could see how the notebook, you could have,
yeah,
that with screens, but do you,
yeah,
see?
I think students,
because reading seems to be changing.
They seem to be reading more for the gist, so that some of the things I'm suggesting are more important than ever. You know, if students are reading on Kindles or devices, like I'm teaching 2 literature courses now, and I've noticed several students have said, yeah, I seem to remember that was in the text, like this happened or something. Why aren't you looking at it right now here in front of you, you know, to be sure, right? So I'm having to say, all right, whatever device it is that you're reading this on, it's in front of you. Take us to that place. There's things that I do in the classroom. A lot of them I take from Rosenwasser and Stevens, Writing Analytically. Let's go to sentences, right? Just shout them out. What are the go-to sentences that stand out? Or if there's a puzzling passage, let's do a paraphrase times 3. Write it out 3 times in your own words, what you think this means. Now let's read them out. Which one do we like? Let's discuss and choose what we think that author's really saying.
I mean, that sounds like a great exercise,
yeah,
especially.
Yeah, you've got to do that stuff. I find I have to do that stuff in the room to remind myself to keep making students accountable so that they will go back and read more closely the next time and when they come in. Entrance and exit slips where you write when we first get there, something that I collect, and then after we have discussion, I pose a new question, write and collect. I mean, that's kind of sneaky, but it keeps people reading, right? Because they don't want to be caught out that they haven't read.
Yes, and it's definitely connecting them to their writing as well and reflecting.
Yeah. And in the online forum, I say, okay, here's the assignment for the semester. A certain number of you are going to be first responders, where you're going to answer the prompt online first, and then so many of you are going to be second responders different weeks. But when you respond to the first responders, you have to take us somewhere new. You have to extend or complicate or counter something that they've said, right? We can't just keep saying ditto or agree, disagree, or...
And it sounds like these are also long-term, like thinking about the class as a whole and the students progressing through it.
Right.
And maybe not assuming that this engaged reading is happening, really.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing I do is I try to make... In several of my courses, I juxtapose high and low culture. So I'm like teaching a course on the rhetoric and literature of confession now.
Oh, wonderful.
And I've got St. Augustine, Rousseau, Foucault, but I've also got O.J. Simpson's If I Did It and the Confessions of Bill Clinton and Ted Kennedy, right? So that if students are taking concepts, they're kind of using them as lenses to look at more contemporary test objects. And I try to choose texts that I don't have figured out myself, right? So a book like J.M. Coetzee's Disgrace, where Coetzee looks at reparations in South Africa and animal rights and questions whether we can ever have a true confession in a secular situation. I mean, is this guy permanently disgraced for what he's done? Or
so choose texts that you are engaging at that same
exactly.
inquiry yeah. level yeah. with your students.
Yeah. So when they convince me of a different way of reading, you know, that's gold.
Thank you so much for talking with me today, Christine
Thank
Ferris.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing, recorded at the University of Michigan. For more information about the Sweetland Center for Writing, visit us on the web at lsa.umich.edu/sweetland.